Join Aubrey Masango, evenings on 702.
17 minutes after 10 o'clock. Glad to see that many of you are asking yourselves the very same question I'm asking. We'll talk about it in the final hour of the show. Nolu Maki is my guest spokesperson for Dear South Africa. Good evening to you, Nolu. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate your time.
Good evening, Aubrey. Good evening to your listeners. Thank you so much for the invitation.
What is Dear South Africa?
So Dear South Africa, of course, it is a platform that allows for public participation on matters that affect them as ordinary citizens of this country.
So it is not a political formation?
It is not. It's a public participation platform. It facilitates public participation platform for ordinary South Africans.
The reason why I asked, Nolu, is that one, we are in a very interesting time at the moment where we are trying to find political leaders, political parties to represent us in the National Assembly. This time usually attracts and creates a lot of formations, political and otherwise. Yours, I would argue, is therefore a civil rights movement.
I would put us there. We are just a movement to actually just allow, as I said, to facilitate public participation when it comes to matters that concern ordinary South Africans.
Is that because there's a sense that the available platforms are not providing that that ability for South Africans as should be the case?
And not only that, there's always a need for platform like ours to give, to rally people and make them aware of be it bills or acts that are actually coming that are launched by the National Assembly. Yes, for us, our role, of course, is to inform the ordinary South Africans and to make them question and to make them active citizens. And not just those who just take things or just see things happening around them, but rather to make them to be truly active citizens and take part into democracy, because that's what democracy calls us to do, to be active citizens, because we are the ones who elect people in front of us that we put in the National Assembly.
And many, many people would probably agree with you and say that that is a faculty of South African socioeconomic discourse that we lost, because many, shall we say, civil society movements were sucked into the political space. They became affiliated to political parties, and ultimately we found ourselves with a society devoid of real civil society voices. Mm-hmm. So I would agree with you that it is definitely something that is needed, something mm-hmm. that rallies South Africans around issues without necessarily wanting to have a political seat at the table, at the political table. What is the issue that you raise now? This idea that South Africans can go to the National Assembly and speak of issues directly without the need of the intermediary of a politician?
Indeed. And just to concur with what you were saying, as South Africans, we're so used to be spoken or our voices to come through or come from a political party. I think it's important for us to understand that as citizens, we can have a voice without a political party. Thus, as Dear South Africa, we're actually quite excited and endorsing what the National Assembly has done, and that is also to adopt the transformational amendment to its rules and guidelines for petitions, so that ordinary South Africans, as a platform that facilitates participation to comments and the likes, we endorsing, or rather let me say that we are actually applauding the National Assembly for come for adopting this, because it really will help ordinary South Africans, as I said, to actually be part of, or rather to have a say. Because if you understand the people that we put into the National Assembly, we select them and we say, go and represent us. So whenever they're passing these bills, it's our responsibility to hold them accountable. So it's so great now that we do not have people who for lack of a better word, who tend to create red tapes for ordinary people to reach those decision makers when it comes to that, because it actually impedes them in having a say as citizens.
I want to first understand, what is this bill? Is it a bill or is it a law now that's been promulgated? What is it? And why is it that political parties seem to be impotent when once they are in the National Assembly in raising issues of ordinary South Africans?
Okay, so firstly, of course, this is a, they've amended it. It's a transformational amendment to the Parliament rules and guidelines for petitions. Right now, that's what this is. I wouldn't necessarily call it a bill, or rather, for sake of what we're discussing, let's call it a bill. And if you understand, you know, I think also politicians, they tend to believe that they own that space because they're the ones who are elected to be in Parliament, forgetting that who elected them in the first place to be part of the National Assembly. So that is, I think that is why they feel the need that they, I wouldn't want to call them gatekeepers, but rather to be the ones who, I'd say, maybe say to let that know better. in this instance. So I think that's where they're coming from.
And therefore they become sort of the, yeah, you said gatekeepers, but the brinkmen almost of what is important and what is not important. And therefore you have this kind of brinkmanship that happens in the political space and not really
indeed
a true representation of what the people are experiencing on the ground.
I think they have a misunderstanding. You know what? As much as I'm an ordinary South African, I had to spend my day working and making sure that I have food on my table. And because of that, I understand they might get a misunderstanding in terms of their role and my role. Just because I'm busy putting food on my table, it does not mean that I don't get to have a say. And just because they're busy most of the time, hired by us to discuss these matters, therefore I think that is why they feel a sense of ownership to these matters. But they are matters that actually impact my day to day. They might impact me going out of that gate, going to my work. You understand what I mean?
Yep.
So I think the difference is it's actually that they have a misunderstanding because they sit there, they discuss them, as opposed to me. I was actually just busy with presentations for clients today. So it's a different, we are busy with different things. But however, I'm a citizen who actually care about my tomorrow and my children's tomorrow.
And I suppose you then have to deal with the reality that politicians and political formations in the National Assembly have to be involved in all sorts of horse trading and negotiation on issues. And the issue that you as a citizen might believe is very important might be put on the back burner at the expense of your issue in order to achieve a cooperation for an issue that is considered to be bigger. Somebody once said to me that is political collateral. Is it political collateral damage? Something like that. They gave me a word for that. So I get what you say. So explain to me how, for lack of a better word, this bill will work and when will it work?
So in terms of when the bill will be actually passed, as Dear South Africa, we are not actually 100% clear, but we understand that the Parliament actually has ruled out, or rather has given us the go-ahead as ordinary South Africans to go, or rather let me say that they have announced it as to when we are standing actually also waiting to hear when will it actually be passed. So when, as I said, this bill enables you, if, for instance, let's talk about, make an example of the Bella Bill. There are quite a number of parents who are concerned about the Bella Bill. So now it won't be just a certain portion of parents who are relying, for instance, to the politicians to have their say. They can go there and say, as parents of this community, we find this bill might not be good for our, or rather might be harmful, or rather might actually have a negative impact into our society as the people who are living in this community. So this bill actually, it opens up room and it removes the mediator, of course, in this case, who are usually the politicians who are in the Parliament.
How does it work? Physically, procedurally, how would this work?
So procedurally, as I said to you, we actually also standing or rather waiting to see in terms of actually just to simplify it in its simplest form, how exactly would it work and how do I go about this? But as I said to you, as Dear South Africa, we're actually excited because it also encourages us to continue to do our work, because now we also understand the need for public participant when it comes to bills and acts that are put by Parliament for people to have their own voices and their say to those bills and acts.
Which political party or movement raised this to begin with in Parliament?
To be honest with you, that is something which we are not quite aware of, but I do believe that there is a political party that has done. So if you must understand, like as an organization, our role, of course, as I said to you, is to open up public participants, to rally people in into matters that actually impact their lives. Those matters, they might be raised, but we don't necessarily would say we focus on what a political party say, but we focus on what the government is currently saying, which is, of course, those are the people that are sitting in Parliament. So our focus is not necessarily who has driven this. And, of course, at this current moment, the current government who is running the country, as we know, it is the ANC. So we aren't focusing on that at this moment.
So what kinds of issues would we see typically, I suppose, in an environment where this bill would have found success? What kinds of issues do you think we'd typically see coming to the National Assembly to be discussed without the aid of political parties?
See, you know, before I even explain that, we are sitting with a problem in this country, and that is that most of the bills that are published, or rather that are taken out to the public, they tend to be also complex for an ordinary South African. So, as I said, I've made an example, for instance, of the bill the bill, even, of course, it's an act or a bill, if I were to put it like that, of the pacifist one when the government wanted to forcibly become a monopoly by removing the current competitors in the industry when it comes to small parcels. So you're looking at those, there are bills, of course, that affect you, let's say, for instance, in terms of the business world, that affect you in terms of civil and societal issues that are happening in your community. So we are talking about that. You know, all bills that come through, they don't speak, or rather hit home to all of us in the same way, if you understand what I'm saying here. So they vary in their purpose, or rather in their impact into the South African citizen.
Wouldn't this render the political parties, the political formations that are now in Parliament, and those that are seeking to be in Parliament, wouldn't this render them useless ultimately?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, for a long time, we have given political parties or political members too much, I don't want to say too much power, but too many...
I agree. Absolutely agree.
We have given them too much power to make them believe that they think for us and they know what's best for us. And that's not true. I know what's best for me. Why, Aubrey? Because I know right now what do I need. I know what do I need in my cabinet, right? In my cupboard right now. What food, what resources do I need? Only I know that. And what is best for me, firstly, where I live, in the society, and even in the community that I live in. Most of them, they don't even live in the communities that we stay right now. Mm. But you might find that they believe that they know best for us. And it also actually comes from the African way of leadership, that whomever is in power knows fully the best, you know.
Yeah.
However, when you're talking about a democratic party, a democratic South Africa, or rather society, it says that the individual should know what is best, you know. And then, of course, you might find that a collective of people, therefore, because they've got similar needs, that is why they would say, for our community, this might not work for us.
Some might argue that this is a very anti-African sort of idea that Dear South Africa has, in that it is focusing on the needs of the individual and not the collective. I make this comment on the basis of what you've just said now, that I know what I need. is this post? Is this the reality of post political party politics? is this a new reality? I mean, I've been having conversations with people that were saying, look, you know, the days of heavy ideology like socialism, communism, capitalism are dead. People are looking for very practical answers around very practical situations. So, yeah, we are entering a post ideological time. Does that also include perhaps the idea that we are moving into a personalized political moment that isn't necessarily about the collective, but more about the individual?
For me, I'd love to argue and say that we're moving back to how we were living before we actually known the whole thing of, I'd rather say, politics. For instance, as South Africa, or rather as Africans, we were living societally. When I say what I know, I'm not just talking about myself. I'm talking about my family. I'm talking about also my neighbor. I might be using an individual sense of it, but I understand that where I stay, we all have common needs. We wouldn't stay in the same society if we didn't have common needs. But then what we are faced with right now, we are faced with a sphere, or rather political landscape, that says that whomever is in power knows best. And it actually, if you really look at it, it hasn't necessarily served us well.
Yeah.
Now you're finding that now the reason why we are living in gated communities where we all have like-mindedness, activities and lifestyle, it's because we are a group of people who want to live a certain way. I don't know if you hear where I'm going.
It yeah, sounds exactly I hear what you're going, but I can almost
hear how we were before. How we lived before.
I can almost hear somebody say, yeah, but you know, that's what the people at Orania did. You know?
But then also, people of Orania, they aren't any different if you really look at its corners. Mm. It's people who just gathered together who wanted to live in a certain way. It's a group of people made an agreement. Remember, as people, as much as one might think that we have a herd mentality, mm-hmm. which I'd love to believe that we don't necessarily have that. We're individuals. We have an autonomous way of wanting to live our lives. But then because of that, we then become similar individuals in that. That is why we then create communities because of that. So
yeah.
The people of Orania, they created a society for them as like-minded people.
Yeah. You know, I'm reminded as you say that of the medieval castles and the city-states of that time where people would... And I remember having a conversation with somebody about gated communities in that sense, where we are beginning to see these mega gated communities where people have privatized services and have adopted a particular way of living that they prefer and so mm-hmm. forth. Is that not antisocial though? Is that not extricating yourself from the rest of the South African reality and creating another?
I think just also, to be fair, it's also exacerbated with the state of our country.
Mm.
I think if you remember, if you all understand, the more things they fall apart, the more things are not functional, then people will rise up to create a functional state for themselves. That's something that is done across the world, if you think about it. I can't sit here, if I can afford to be in a certain place, society, for me, firstly, as a woman, that I can be safe in, I wouldn't wait, if I can afford, to underline, if I can afford, until someone comes in and actually says, or rather a government or a politician says to me, hey, I'm creating a safe space for me, but I'd rather invest into that community because I know that it'll be my money's worth, because I would sleep well at night and I'll be safe. So I think all of this, as much as we might think that it's creating an antisocial of some sort, but it's also exacerbated by our current, as I said, functions, or rather services that were supposed to serve us as ordinary South Africans. And when those services do work, Aubrey, they also do tend to keep they tend to level the ground, not 100%, but they tend to level the ground of inequality as well. Mm. Why do I say that? If I've got functional transportation, I might find no need to actually really invest into a car because I know where I stay. I'm going to take a public transport. I'm going to get to work on time, so on and so forth. But the more things aren't working, the more we also want to individualize ourselves and actually invest in what is going to work me and what is best for me. Do you see where I'm going with this, Aubrey? Yeah. So it's not necessarily, we citizens are just trying to create what is best for themselves and their families.
Yeah. Somebody said to me the other day that we are moving to a communalism rather than a communism. That when you begin to see the rise of enclaves of people of like-minded ideas, it is precisely because we're beginning to see a communalism rather than a communism. Is that what you're talking about?
Not necessarily. Let me make an example here for one of the big estates around here where I'm currently, of course, residing in Paarl in the Western Cape. I see in those communities where it also, funny enough, it's one of the communities that are creating employment. They take people who are staying in the less fortunate communities than them and they go there and actually they work and serve those people. So if we're talking about, because if I understand very well that communism says in its essence, supposedly for me, that you share and you also take care of the one that is next to you, not the other, but not the latter, where you have to actually try and, what can I say, and equalize, because I just think that that is, it goes against who humans are. For my own, this is my own take on it. So I just believe that if you have, it is bound for you to share with those who don't have. Why? Because you'd need services that other people who are looking for jobs will actually will fulfill those services for you. Do you understand what I'm saying here, Aubrey? So it opens up another economy of jobs, which is actually another problem in our country. So sometimes when we are discussing these issues, I think it's great also not to see them in one light. That person who's in that community might be enjoying all the safety and all the things that are good in that community, but how about when you enter that community and you see the security guard and you're like, oh, this is so great to see a man who's working and not sitting in the corner and causing problems for us in our society. And I know this firsthand because I grew up in the townships. So I know the impact of a man who goes to work and does an honest living, who can serve, and for that matter, can provide for his own family. So we shouldn't look at this in one-sidedness of the one who bought the service and who's and receiving the service. But also, let's also see the people who are actually serving them, who are getting paid, who are bettering their lives, and actually also making our society a better place.
What would you say to somebody that says, okay, sure, Nolu and her friends at Dear SA make some sense, but this just sounds like the beginnings of a new political formation. Sure, at this stage, it hasn't become a political formation in the classical sense, but Nolu has already expressed a particular ideology. Nolu has already expressed the idea that this is an issue that is going to deal with the vagaries of the lack of service delivery, which is a political issue in South Africa. Nolu has already explained how she and Dear SA envisage human settlements. And the reason why she, this is nothing more than another political settlement. I mean, political formation. It's just that Nolu hasn't had the courage to say that it
to
is.
To announce that it is a political party, like the new political parties that came to being.
Yeah.
You know, the sad thing of in our country, Aubrey, is that when we're sitting, whether or not, let's say we're not having this conversation in the national platform as we are right now. Let's say we met and we are having a good conversation over coffee, over whatever beverage that we enjoy, and we're just discussing this. One would also still label us as people who want to be in politics, who want to run the country. We forget that politics, it's supposed to be a way of life. It affects our lives. We should be able to talk about without being labeled that you want to create your own political party. How is it that I wake up every morning and I pay my taxes? and I serve my country. When I say serve, I am a good citizen. I don't have a right to discuss the matter of my country, because if I do, I might be seen that I want to create my own political party.
Do you want to create a political party?
I never said I wanted to. Dream of doing that. I don't even dream of it. I don't even want to.
Yeah.
But rather, I do want to see a society of young people, as I'm still young, who are rising up, who become active citizens, and who understand what is going on, to also hold those that they put in power accountable.
What is the footprint of Dear South Africa, and why did you call it Dear South Africa?
Because as we can hear, Dear South Africa, it has so much nuances into it, in the sense of, Dear South Africa, please have you say, you know, Dear South Africa, have you heard about this bill, you know? So it's more of a plea. Dear South Africa, are you hearing or are you aware, you know, someone may, of what is going on around you, for what the parliament has said of X, Y, Z. So our footprint, of course, I'd say it's actually quite a wide footprint, because we are mostly, of course, our footprint is mostly digital, because we're living in a digital era. But our footprint, of course, we are planning, or rather we are in a moment where we want to actually go even beyond in reaching more South Africans, because it's quite important.
Mm. So, when do you expect to see results in light of what you are proposing, what you are hoping to see, and more specifically, when can we see this bill again for the purposes of this conversation or this idea come to manifestation?
We are, our eyes and our ears, of course, we're keeping them close to Parliament. And as you've actually invited me, I'll be glad to also come back to talk about when everything it is launched and finalized, to tell you more in that regard, yeah. Aubrey.
So, the bill at this stage is one that is probably going to be promulgated in the 7th Parliament, probably, yeah?
Indeed. And I understand also, just to throw it in there, one would question so much, why now for this, you know? You know, with every let's call it election season, the government comes bearing fruits or bearing gifts. And some of those gifts, they're actually quite good, as I call them, gifts. And it's up to us to actually accept them or not. So whether it's actually enhanced or propelled because of the season that we are in, let's take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm. And are there people that are resonating with your call in a way that is probably going to assist whoever the political formation that sort of initiated this idea have success in Parliament? Because ultimately we still need this to be successful in Parliament for it to be a law, right?
Indeed. We are getting that. We're getting quite a good response on our comments on the platform on this one. And ordinarily, whenever we're taking out bills such as this, we always get into your 4,000 and if not more in terms of our comments of people. And you'll see that most of them, the 80% would be for, or the other rest will be for 20% of it. So we are seeing quite a good number of people having their say on this matter. And we're quite excited. It's about time, as ordinary South Africans, that we are able to hold those that we put in that National Assembly accountable.
Mm. Is that perhaps part of the strategy to hold your support as something that a political party in Parliament, right, can look to or forward to your support should they support this bill?
See, we don't, you know what, if a particular political party takes out a bill that is favorable to large audience, or rather to the ordinary South African, I wouldn't necessarily say that because people are favoring that bill just because it came from a political party, they're favoring it for the political party. No. As I said to you, people would have a say on a bill because it impacts them directly.
Sure, but
so it's not necessarily about the political party.
Yeah. But at this stage, we are still at, I suppose, the very early stages of the evolution that you would like to see, that decisions as to whether or not a law becomes a law are still made within the confines of the National Assembly.
Mm.
So what I'm trying to understand is that when political parties, I imagine that this bill will come for debate at some point.
And
there'll be political parties that are for and there'll be political parties that are against. Will the negotiation be, if you guys support this bill, then you've got Dear South Africa's support? Is that the kind of arrangement we'll have?
Indeed. So also just to make it simpler for my own understanding, what you're asking me, we would be for the political party that is for this bill, of course, because we understand the impact and the importance of this bill has the DSSA and the DS South Africa, because as I said to you, we enable public participants. So we would be for that political party that is running with this.
What stage is this bill at? I mean, I believe that there's all sorts of color papers that need to be presented before a bill becomes a bill. There's a white paper, there's a blue paper, there's a toilet paper. What paper is this bill represented by at this stage?
As an organization, we were excited, of course, to see this bill, and because it was announced, you know. And in terms of the granular or the nitty-gritties, in terms of the way the bill is right now, it's something, of course, on our side that we actually yet to actually find out about it. But this bill was actually taken out and we took it and we said, hey, let's get the views of our public about this bill.
And what's the views of the public been?
As I said to you, the majority of people, of course, they're welcoming it quite positively because they understand.
Those that reject it, what do they say? Why would they reject
it? I think if you understand, of course, as you actually said, people, let's say, for instance, put it this way, people would want to have, there's always a need of a CEO in a company so that that person may run the company. And then when we put you there, just do your job and then that's it. So some people, in fact, some people are coming from that front. Hence, we'd find that some people wouldn't mind living in that. I don't want to call it an authoritarian society, or rather they would want to live in a society that is similar to a kingship, you know, a royalty.
Yeah, a monarchy, yeah.
Thank you, a monarch. Yeah, that's, yeah. Thank you so much. A monarch society, because they want someone to think for them. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of debate around that because people believe that as individuals we can't make our own choices, you know.
Yeah.
Hence we choose certain products and brands because they actually choose for us what we need. But even though that may be the case, we still say that let's just still have our say. Hence, so others might be coming from that angle. That is why they would be opposing this.
Well, let me invite our listeners and hear what they've got to say about this. My guest is Nolu Maki. She's spokesperson for Dear South Africa. It's a platform, not a political party, folks. and they are a digital platform. Yes, Nolu?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
You know, those of us who are a bit old school, you don't know anymore what platform actually supposed to be. But this is a digital platform that discusses ideas. One of the ideas that it is discussing is an idea that has been put forward even in our parliament, where the suggestion is that you as a citizen would be able to approach parliament yourself without the intermediaries of political parties or political personalities. And I wonder if Nolu, for example, was successful in representing a particular idea for us as society, whether we wouldn't decide to vote for her to become president and therefore catapulting her into the political space. But she argues that we should be able to talk about issues that affect us and be able to speak truth to power, to speak to power about these issues without having to wear a political T-shirt or a political band. What do you make of this? Are our politics ready for this? Is our social consciousness ready for this kind of thing? Now, I'm aware that this conversation is happening on a digital platform, and Nolu has been kind enough to come and talk to us on a rather traditional radio platform. And I'm hoping that this is an edifying moment for those of you who didn't even know that this bill was in existence. But what do you make of this? Do you think this is something that you would resonate with? This is something that you would support? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. I get a sense, Nolu, that we are still very much a country that hasn't yet broken into the mainstreaming of politics, political issues, societal issues, using digital platforms. We haven't broke. It's going to come. It's inevitable that it's going to happen. But we haven't. We seem not to have reached that place yet. Could it be that? Could it be that maybe this is a bit premature?
I remember, Aubrey, and I think I was actually doing my trip and I was 18. For the first time, I went to cast my vote. And I was standing in this queue, and I just, for the life of me, I kept questioning, why do I have to do this physically whilst I'm here? And at the same time, I looked at my parents, of course, who are now retired. One is in the 70s, another in the 60s. They felt so much, they could resonate with it. Yeah. They felt this pride standing in that queue, standing and thinking to myself, I'm sure, I bet I can do this online. The way I'm going is that in the next 10 years, I'll be, of course, in my 40s and so, then fast forward to that. I'm just trying to show you that you might think it's premature, and then those who are behind me right now, that is why you find that also have, for instance, if you also know that for to register yourself to be in, a voter, you could do it online as well. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's immature, but it's actually quite necessary.
Premature.
Oh, sorry, premature. Premature.
Yeah.
I think that now is the time. We can't, even, of course, 2020 also exacerbated the whole life of being virtual and digital. Mm. And as I said to you...
You mean the COVID moment, yeah? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Where we are all locked in also. That's why most companies, they went into your hybrids or full-time working from home. I'm saying that we are ready. Now is the time for this. Because if you wait until people are fully ready, I think we will be far behind to what the world is already doing right now. And also to be far behind from what our young people are busy and exploring in the world of digital.
Give me, look into your crystal ball and give me a sense of when you think this happens in South Africa's evolving democracy.
You see, right now, I think also sometimes we tend to, I don't want to say undermine, but we tend to fear or be hesitant because, let me make an example, my father still prefers reading his news from, and he wants to feel and touch the newspaper. Yeah. He's still as loyal as ever to the Sunday Times.
Your father's like me.
Exactly. Every Sunday, every day, he wants to feel and touch his newspaper.
Yes.
Right? But I saw recently for my mother. My mother reads the news on her phone. You know, because the difference there, it's 10 years between the two. She would tell me, hey, I saw this on the news. She's reading it on her phone, you know. So I think at times we become hesitant, maybe because my father's in the life, we're like, no, this might be because of that. But then you look at how, even for my father for that matter, that he does business, or rather banking digitally, I think we underestimate how far we are already as South Africans digitally.
Mm.
And how we've already adapted digitally as South Africans.
So are you suggesting that perhaps we need a generation to disappear before we see the actual realization of the digitalization of politics in South Africa?
Not even. I say we need both. How we are doing it now is also, because remember, for every generation, when we can see the older generation, as I call them old, then we need to start introducing things that will work best for those who are yet to be old. So we don't remove what the older used to, but we also introduce what the young might be more successful into, you know, adapt easily into, because they are the ones who will continue when those who are old, they actually do leave us on this earth. So it's not to say they must go, no. In that we need them still. There's a lot that we can learn. But we also say that we also need, as I said to you, my brain just couldn't understand why I should I stand on the queue so long. If so many of my things, the reason I don't go to a branch of my bank, because I just don't want to, because I can do everything on my phone. I can do everything, of course, digitally.
No, Lou, it's been really interesting talking to you. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to me. How do we get a hold of Dear SA?
So you can find, for your comments and everything, you can go to ds.africa. That's where you find it. That is ds, which is dsa. Dot Africa. In fact, it's ds, which is DERAS, then Africa, then dot Africa.
Yeah. Spokesperson for DSA, Nolu Maki, thank you very much for... Oh, before I even let you go, any idea as to when this particular conversation will become mainstream? It's been quiet. I'm talking about from Parliament side, from the political, the mainstream political formations and civil society movements. Do you have any idea as to when this will become mainstream conversation in South Africa?
Of course, we hope that it will take flight, as it has done already, because this is the first of it. And people should also just take close into our website to be updated on this bill.
Remind me once again, what is this bill called?
The bill, of course, it's an amendment bill because I don't want to speak something out of tense here. It's a National Assembly bill, which, of course, it has. It's a transformational amendment to its rules and guidelines for petitions.
Nolu Maki, thank you very much for joining us. Much appreciated.